All right. Little different look this time on Lancaster Connects. I wanted to see the episode number. I don't have it here right in front of me, but I believe we're something like 130 plus episodes at this point. Thank you for tuning into the show this week. We go live every week at 2 o'clock Monday afternoons right here from the Gardener's Mattress and More. I want to say podcast studio, but it's a Monday and Monday is Mondaying. If that's a phrase, Monday is Mondaying today. We are episode 132. Thanks to our producer, Chris, from Cast Ahead, our amazing producer. Episode 132 here is happening at Gardener's Mattress and More. It's just in my office today because as the day has been gone, today's been the day of challenges. Hope your Monday's going well. We've had ours today. We got some people on vacation. We have some people sick. It seems to be a lot going around. So if you're one of those folks that's a little under the weather today, I hope that the nice weather and the sunshine can brighten your spirits and you feel better soon. But we are moving and shaking today. And I decided to do the show from in here in the office because the door's been swinging all day. So we're very blessed for that, which is great. But we got one person, Chad, out there to help our customers. And out of all the team members, Chad's voice, his voice carries. And I just decided I'm going to do it in here so we can focus on our guest because we have an amazing, amazing guest today. Actually, a guest from a local charity that I've often said on the show, not often, but a handful of times over the years. You know, I'm not so sure that they need Lancaster Connects, but I can't wait to bring our guest on because really what the United Way does, that's our guest today, Kate Zimmerman from United Way. They are the convener. They do a lot of things kind of as an umbrella, as a purpose behind the purpose type organization for a lot of maybe smaller charities, a lot of things you're connected to locally. They're actually behind the scenes helping. So I'm really excited to have Kate come on the show. We are in the midst of a lot of changes here at Gardner's. There's a lot of great specials that we have going on for spring cleaning. It's a spring kind of day, spring kind of mood. And so we've got some things we want to close out. So reach out if now's that time, especially if you're feeling under the weather. Sleep can help you feel better faster. The better you sleep, the better you'll feel and you'll recuperate from illness a little quicker. All right. I feel a little weird not having my sidekick to my side, or he would normally be this way. See, I'm all backwards today. But Ben is out there on the delivery truck today, making sure our customers are happy, making sure we keep all those delivery promises we make. But without too much further ado, I'm just going to bring on Kate Zimmerman from the United Way Lancaster. Kate, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's so lovely to be here. Although I have to say, after watching the intro video, folks have come on with famous groundhogs and with puppies, and I'm feeling lonely in my office without either of those things to accompany me today. So apologies for not having a furry friend with me.
Are you saying you could have had a groundhog with you?
Oh, if only. Copy the famous groundhog? I know, I'm not that cool.
Yeah, that was a fun episode. Not every day you get to do that with a guest. But hey, you know what? Kate, we think you're pretty awesome.
Thank you.
Let's just kick off. I mean, one thing I kind of like to ask, what are your fondest memories here of living in Lancaster? Are you from Lancaster?
I am not from Lancaster. I'm from Michigan originally.
Okay.
But I've been here for 20 years, which I know means I'm not, you know, not from Lancaster, but I have raised my kids here and I feel like I've been here for a while.
Well, then they are from Lancaster, so that counts.
They are from Lancaster, and my husband is from Lancaster, so that's what matters, right?
Yeah, you married into the from.
Yeah.
So, and the kids are definitely from. So yeah, you're in. So being from Michigan, our Chris, who you met behind the scenes, he's a big Michigan fan. Are we blue or Michigan State fans?
So I started college at Michigan State. My brother is a huge Michigan fan, and my son has gone to Penn State. So I, of course, cheer Michigan State because it annoys my brother. But we've decided all together, as long as we all cheer against Ohio State, we can each have our own teams.
There you go. I like the thinking there.
Yeah, I see the go blue that just came across. Yeah. And actually, my daughter is looking for colleges, and we're going to visit Michigan in 2 weekends. So I may really have to change my stripes on this one soon.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's a lot of fun. I mean, college visit, I'm approaching that myself with our youngest here soon. So that's cool. It's always fun when they grow up and you get to see those things and do those things with your kids. It's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So all that said, so maybe then what's a fond memory from Michigan?
Oh, gosh. Well, Michigan is lovely. We are from the west end of the state, so Michigan is lovely in the summer. The lake shore, I grew up close to Lake Michigan. The nights stay light until like 10 o'clock at night in the summer. So it was wild to take East Coast kids in the summer out there. And they'd say, it's not dark. We don't have to go to bed yet. Cool. It gets dark at 10 o'clock. You are little and you still have to go to bed. So Michigan summer is amazing. I would not be sad if I never had to do another Michigan winter, though.
This is true. Yeah. Those ones, especially by the lake, can be pretty rough.
Right. Yeah. My brother last year had something like 53 days in a row of no measurable sunlight. So
that's like Alaska.
Right. So this is glorious. Pennsylvania, Lancaster, sunshine, even when it's snowing, I will take any day of the week.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Wow. Well, I'm glad you're here in Lancaster. I'm glad that you've made roots here in Lancaster. And so you're with the United Way of Lancaster County, which is a big charitable organization. I mean, United Way is national. Is it worldwide?
Worldwide, actually.
Worldwide.
Yep. United Way worldwide.
Yep. Very good. And so how did you get connected with United Way? Give us that story.
You know, I told them this when I was interviewing for the position, but I actually, my first job was when I was 16. I worked at the Gap in Michigan, and they automatically, as part of your onboarding, told you about United Way, and you could do payroll deductions for United Way. And so as a 16-year-old, I did payroll deductions for United Way. My mom at the time was a breast cancer survivor, so I chose breast cancer research, and I'm pretty sure I also chose animals. But I was able to use some of my money, as small as it was, making $4.25 an hour back in the day. I won't tell you how long ago that was. But I was able to feel like a philanthropist and like I was having impact in my community. So United Way has always been on my radar, no matter what community I've lived in. But since being in Lancaster County and working especially for Habitat for Humanity and then for Leadership Lancaster, I've worked side by side with a lot of the United Way team members, a lot of our initiatives have aligned, and I've really had a great relationship with them across my career in Lancaster County.
Very good. Very good. So, I mean, everybody's familiar with United Way, right? I mean, there's a lot of national advertising, mm-hmm. a lot of awareness to all the good that you do. But, you know, in your words, what is the purpose of United Way?
Yeah, you know, and I have to say, I felt like I really knew the nonprofit sector because I'd worked supporting the nonprofit sector for so many years. But when I came to this United Way, I realized how much I still had to learn because they are doing so many incredible things. But for me, United Way is an organization that supports our community, and it gives people a chance to be philanthropists, whatever dollar amount they might be able to spend in philanthropy. We're really a convener. We bring people together to address community issues. And at the end of the day, our mission is advancing the education, economic mobility, and health of our community by mobilizing resources, people, and organizations. So if it's financial, you want to support your community that way, we can help you. If you want to volunteer and support your community that way, we can help you. Or if it's just drawing attention to community issues, we can be at the table for something like that too.
Fantastic. You know, and let's jump into one of those initiatives, one of those programs, because we're here kind of more at the top of the show, top of our time together. And it's appropriate because it's timely for the time of year we're in, tax time. Right. Which, you know, I personally don't look forward to it at all. I was sharing that in the pre-show. My wife and I, we make an appointment for a day to do all the stuff that we need to do. And, but United Way has a program called VITA. So tell us all about that.
VITA is an amazing program. So VITA provides free income tax services for folks who make $70,000 or under, which if you think about it, that is a lot of family sustaining wages. And so we have volunteers across the community at 16 different sites during tax season doing taxes for folks for free. So last year alone, the average tax refund was $1,201. We returned to VITA clients $8.98 million and $2.4 million in filing fees. So all in, about $11 million staying in Lancaster County And with families who need those extra dollars in their bank accounts, thanks to our volunteers.
Yeah. That number, again, we when you shared with me, as we got to know each other a little bit more in the pre-show, we don't just jump on camera here, folks, and wing it. We do some research on our guests and we make sure they're a good fit. But, you know, I think what can get lost in charitable giving and the way people might think about charities is, where is the impact, right? Unless you're specifically paying attention, or going to a website, or maybe it's your church or your organization, so you know more intimately where their impact goes. Right here, right now, you can know, and I would imagine this number is probably only going to grow or be in that $11 million range. You can know right here, right now, you've just learned it, that the United Way returns about $11 million a year back into our local Lancaster County economy. Now, whether that stays in the family savings account, that's up to them. It's their money, right? But
yep,
like, you know for sure that that's just a tremendous number.
It's huge. And, you know, it's not even just that the money's staying here, but it's a human face sitting with you. And, you know, we've heard some really incredible stories already this tax season. And I should say this tax season already, like, our numbers are up against last year. So we're already trending higher than we were in terms of returns compared to last year. But we've had a couple different stories. You know, someone who hadn't quite understood how to pay taxes and really gotten behind. And then they lived with that, like, looking over their shoulder, and they were afraid all the time. And so they were able to come in and be set right again. And so now they can walk out the door without that hanging over their head. You know, I know every time I do taxes, I think, oh my gosh, I hope I didn't screw this up and the IRS is going to come for me. And that's with all the resources I have available to me. So we're making families whole and giving them that confidence. And there's someone, a human being, that's sitting with you on top of all that. And they're all volunteers, which is what I think is incredible. You know, you talk about how we dread tax season each year. There are a group of people who love taxes, it turns out. I know. But they volunteer and they just do taxes out of the goodness of their heart at any one of our different locations. And that's incredible to me.
Yeah. It takes all people to make this world go around. I'm glad there are other people who contribute to the go-round part in the vein of taxes, because I'm never going to be that person. Right. You know, you touched on the letter from the IRS. I'll freely admit, I still, to this day, and we get them often here at the business, that because, like, things change, like your address might change. And it seems like every couple of years, so our actual address is 830 Plaza Boulevard, Suite 2. And it seems like every few years, the Suite 2 gets added and then dropped and then added and then dropped. Kind of like on your credit report, if your name is Jeff, like mine, or Jeffrey, it seems to get added and back. But every time one of those letters shows up, a little panic sets in. And so, for somebody that didn't understand, and look, the tax code, last I understood, and this goes back 12 years, because when Ben and I bought the business, we sat in the CPA's office that helped us effect the deal with Jim Gardner and kind of line the books and the numbers all up. His office, conference room office, was probably about 20 feet long. And on the one wall was the printed tax code, 90,000 pages. And to see that as a visual, a whole 20-foot wall, floor to ceiling of tax code, it was astounding to me. So yeah, like, we have to remember, we're comfortable with this. We understand it. But the folks that, you know, some people just, it's just not, they're not built for that, and they don't understand it. And how could you understand it? 90,000 pages.
Right.
I'm sure today it's 100,000.
Probably more.
Because we're a whole decade forward of that or more.
Well, so one of the neat things, Kim is our director of VITA, and she's amazing. And one of her initiatives this year is pop-ups. So what she's been trying to do is go to where folks are. And one of the pop-ups has been around the immigrant refugee community. So, you know, on top of being resettled here, and then we throw this thing like taxes on top of you. So our volunteers are meeting with immigrants and refugees and trying to help them understand, first of all, the why behind it, and then the how, so they can pay their taxes and see their refund too for the folks who have been resettled here. So she's really been innovative. She's talking about going out towards food banks because, you know, someone can walk to a food bank. Their bank is probably close by. We can set up a tax return site there. So there's a lot of possibility for how we can support folks, just, you know, 360, but starting with taxes.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, listen, I mean, in light of news headlines, I think people should kind of take that in, what you just shared about you are getting people set up with tax compliance, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So it's a good thing.
It's a great thing. And we're demystifying it. We're making it less scary, hopefully. I have the resources to be able to hire a CPA if I need to, but not everybody does. So we actually have experts who can help you and walk alongside of you in a really compassionate way, which I think is amazing.
Yeah. And that, you know, I think that's the thing. Like, if you know how to use the tax code, which I don't know how anybody really does, the reality is they don't. They assemble a whole team of people, just like the team you have across 16 sites. And now these pop-up sites who love doing taxes, you assemble a team of people on your payroll and they understand it for your business, for you. Not everybody has that. So, man, that's great. 16 sites, $11 million returned in 23. You said your numbers are growing this year, so you're already outpacing.
Yeah, we are well underway. So the appointments come in through 211. So if you dial 211, you can schedule an appointment. And the numbers already are trending higher than they were last year around this time.
So just 211 on your phone.
211
cell
on
phone,
your phone. Yep.
Landline. And that connects it.
Yeah, that'll connect you. You'll actually speak to. So we manage also in United Way to PA 211 East. So we have navigators actually upstairs in this building who are answering phone calls for folks who have any sort of need. So whether it's scheduling their taxes, looking for food assistance, housing assistance, utility assistance. When you call 211, you'll speak to a human being who will start making referrals for you and try to get a holistic picture of what all your needs are. So it might be at the phone call about food insecurity. But in that phone call, they'll discover you also need to do your taxes this year and can make that referral as well. So that's another one of those incredible programs that we're running. And I don't think people realize it. We cover 7 counties. So it's not just Lancaster County, but we're answering the phone for anyone in PA 211 East footprint, which is Berks, Carbon, Lancaster, Lebanon, Lehigh, Northampton, and Schuylkill. And we're making sure they're getting connected resources.
Fantastic. Fantastic. So you're doing a little bit over there.
There's a few things going on. That program is under Patricia, who is amazing and who's actually been here for, I think it's 19 years now, working in 211. And to hear the stories they get from the phone calls is really amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. You touched on food insecurity. You know, we've had Power Packs on the show in the past.
Great organization.
We've had Hands of Hope on. David Lapp, I think I have that right, right? Hands of Hope?
Bridge of Hope, isn't it?
Yeah, we're both kind of... This is podcasting on a tightrope right
there's
here.
There's a lot of hope.
That's
well,
right.
It'll come to us as we're sitting
here. Well, I'm not going to type it out. I was going to quick jump on Google, but Hands of Hope, I'm pretty sure, or Blessings
of Hope. That's what it is. You're right, Blessings.
Blessings of Hope. David, I'm so sorry if you're watching. David Lapp runs a really great organization that really began, largely in a garage. You know, I believe it was his brother-in-law or cousin, maybe a brother, family member, just realized they were food insecure growing up. He wanted to do something about that. Great organization that now processes just all kinds of food. He told me a story once about picking up a tractor trailer load of meat that had to be picked up in 4 hours.
Yeah.
And because of all they do, they were able to do it. And that got put back into Lancaster County and the region. And so, yeah, we're doing all these great things. 211, again, that's a great resource. Touch again on the holistic aspect. So you come in, food insecurity, maybe you need taxes. What are some other examples that maybe somebody can hear? And they might think of, oh my gosh, that's a coworker, that's a friend, that's a family member.
Sure. And you know, that's one of the things I think, especially even employers, we don't think of. And right, when we want our employees to show up and be ready to work every day, there's a lot of folks who are dealing with things we don't understand. And so even sharing this resource out with employers has been, I think, really helpful because there's a place for people to call, even if it's just, you know, my landlord's raising the rent and I don't know what I'm going to do. Housing's our most common call right now. And whether that's someone who's facing homelessness or just looking for another affordable place to live. But the navigators, and we have housing-specific navigators, actually, who will sit and talk with you. for however long it takes to make sure that you feel heard. We may not be able to solve your problem immediately because housing is a really complicated problem right now. And right. we're not going to do, we don't do housing work, right? But we're going to tell you the organizations that you would qualify for. We keep a database of all the nonprofits in the community that meet the needs of community members. And so while we're talking to you, those navigators are looking through the database to say, okay, you qualify for this program. We're going to connect you with them. You might also qualify for this program. We're going to connect you with them. So it could be anything from housing. It could be, I can't make my utility payments this month. And so helping find resources for people, whether it's long-term or just short-term in the moment. Yeah. And that's the great thing about Lancaster County, because this is one of the things I love about Lancaster, and I take for granted sometimes, I think, but there are helpers everywhere. So there are people who are working towards solutions on so many of our community issues. And United Way doesn't need to be the one that solves the problem. We can convene the conversation and help get you towards the people that are solving that issue for you. There are a lot of really smart, hardworking, good-hearted people out there. And there are a lot of nonprofits that are doing good work day in and day out. So making those connections for folks who don't know it in the same way I do. I spent, you know, like 17 years of my career in the nonprofit sector. So, of course, I take for granted sometimes. I can tell you who to call for almost anything. But I think the average person on this, walking down the street day in and day out, and especially in crisis, that's so overwhelming to find solutions to your problems. So having somebody who has it all in front of them to connect you with the smart people who are working on solutions, that's what 2-on-1's doing every day.
Yeah. Something just popped into my head. In my family, we have a family member that is transitioning elderly, and I had to assemble a list, like a checklist. Like, here's what we need to accomplish, you know, and if we're going to be facing severe health crisis, maybe having to move. Obviously, we're growing up, you know. My parents are of that age now. My wife's parents are.
Yeah.
Is that something that 2-on-1 does? Like, helps with families in transition, helping get elderly parents into care?
They would connect you with organizations that do. So there's organizations like the Lancaster Downtowners. There's the Office of the Aging. So depending on what your specific need is, they would say, hey, you should call this organization, or let me get you the contact info for this organization and make that connection so folks can reach out that way. Or people can text. There's a chat bot. There's all the different ways to kind of get to folks when they need you the most in a time of crisis.
Love it. You know, you mentioned Lancaster Downtowners. We've had them on. So really, in a roundabout way, we've had United Way on a bunch of times. Because
we've had a lot of our amazing nonprofits. And I saw, your opening reel, and there's so many familiar faces in there, because this community really does have people that are doing good in every imaginable way. I think for us, our job is to highlight that and connect people to them. Because, you know, like I said, I've been in nonprofit world, and I assume that everyone has the knowledge base that I do, but they don't. I'm really privileged to know 400 some nonprofits and know what they do. But I think the average person, especially if there's a crisis, it's so overwhelming. Where do you even start?
Even
if, like, you have a groundhog that you need to rehabilitate, I would know who to call, but not everybody would, or a squirrel, or...
Right.
Yeah, there's just 100 different examples of that. And so making those connections is really important.
Yeah. I love that we have that resource in Lancaster. If you had a groundhog or a woodchuck or a whistle pig, they're actually one and the same. If you called them each differently, we have a resource for you. And Acorn Acres, that is. So you've used this word convener. The other thing you do, you know, convening conversations, getting the ball rolling. The other thing you do are your level up and launch grants. And again, we had another connected great charity, Swan Scaling Walls, a note at a time, Diana Volo. The work she does with kids through music and through learning, restoring confidence, giving them something they're passionate about. These kids are kids with parents that are incarcerated. So she's doing just tremendous work. Kate, I'm sure you've kept up with her new thing on the mental health work for kids. Yeah, just incredible. And so last year, is that correct, in 23? They were a recipient of the grant, maybe 22.
They were the year before. So we are in a new cycle actually right now. We just had last week, it was the neatest thing ever. We had the mid-year reports from our current cohort of grantees. So what happens is they apply for grants and we allocate $250,000 for, especially for ideas that we're trying to level up and launch. So something that's maybe a little bit more of an incubator or an idea they have, they need some support to get off the ground. So from that $250,000, we give them across all of these different organizations that apply for and are selected, we ask them to raise matching funds. And if they're able to match that $250,000, then we allocate another $250,000 to match their match. So there's been just some of the programs I saw, you showed our video. So the Pennsylvania Furniture Warehouse is one. They help folks who are transitioning into homes and they provide them, their goal is no kid sleeps on the floor. So they help provide beds, for instance, and furniture, but you get to come shop if you're referred in. Or Food Insecurity Law, which is in Millersville, is running a really incredible, what started as a food pantry, and it was starting as a food pantry really with no staff and now has staff and also is a clothing bank. And they're doing kind of similar to what Blessings of Hope does, but if someone has food and we can get it into someone else's hands as quickly as possible, flipping that around. Commonville, I just saw come up too. We helped them with their location in Columbia. They're opening another location in Columbia. So they came and talked to us about that. So the list of nonprofits that we're supporting through that initial grant and then that match has really been quite incredible. And it was neat last week to hear their stories about where they are, what they're doing, and what those grants have already meant. And in a way where, you know, sometimes you need, when you're applying for grant funding, a lot of organizations want something that's a little more established. And this allows us to be nimble and fund maybe an idea that's a little bit more a capacity building, which has been really neat.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so we are actually taking applications right now for our next cohort of Level Up and Launch. So those opened on February 28th and they will be closing April 1. So folks that have something that falls under education, economic mobility, or health should go to the website and learn more about that.
Wonderful. So still got a little under a month.
We have time.
To participate. Yep. You got time, which, you know, I love that we get to bring that out at this time in a timely manner. That's very, very cool. You know, so you have 17 years, I think you said, of nonprofit experience. So fantastic career. Are there a couple moments that you would just like that I could ask you to share of just these great success stories? Maybe it's a direct person on the other side of the charity or a charity that you brought that filled such a tremendous need. Sure. Anything you can share there?
Well, you know, I started my career in nonprofit world and I didn't know careers in nonprofits were a thing. And so this is actually one of my soapboxes. I don't think we tell kids that you can go into this as a path. So I have a degree in political science. I thought I would make the world better by working in Washington, D.C. But really what I've found is like Habitat for Humanity was my first chance at doing this. And I got to stand with families as they received keys to their houses, to the home they would own, and usually a house they helped build, which was incredible. And I got to know some of those families along the way. And so there was a family that I worked with when I was at Habitat who later came back and I got to work with in a leadership development capacity because this mom, whose daughter was so young when I first started working with them at Habitat, this mom had grown in her career and was just doing incredible things. And then to see her kiddo also do incredible things a couple of years later when I was no longer even at Habitat was amazing. And just to be with those families in those moments, I think sometimes we take for granted. The other thing is my daughter is 17 now, but we always did Girls on the Run. And so this year, United Way gave our Women United, which is our women's giving circle, gave a grant to Girls on the Run. So I coached Girls on the Run when Caroline was little. She and I were running buddies. And this year I got to give out medals at the finish line for Girls on the Run because we had supported them with grant funding. And my daughter warned me. She said, "You're going to ugly cry. Don't ugly cry." And I did. But just seeing these girls who never thought they were capable of something like this and watching each girl cross the finish line and to be able to tell them, "You're amazing. You're so strong. I'm so proud of you," was such a cool full circle moment for me as someone who had coached and not be on the other end of it. But just the pride on all of their faces. I ugly cried.
Yeah. Yeah. I know I have two sons. So my boys are not involved with Girls on the Run, but I know Ben's daughter, Amelia, has done a, do you call them seasons?
Yes.
Yes. So yeah. She's done a few seasons. I don't think I'm sharing too much to say that specifically helped with her confidence building. And so now she's like a fantastic volleyball player and seems to really, from what Ben reports back, has found her groove that way. And so something as simple as just getting out and being able to run and feel good about it can just pay such tremendous dividends. You said something that prompted a thought that I want to ask you about a career in nonprofits. Is a college degree a requisite, or is it something you can build upon as you volunteer time?
I always joke that I have a degree in political science, which I don't use at all, but I now do marketing. I do finance. I do program development. Like everything I've learned along the way, I've taught myself in the nonprofit world. And absolutely, I enjoyed my college experience. I learned a lot about the world. And I think it's part of what motivated me to work in nonprofits. But at my last job, we actually started taking college degree off as a requirement, because I think really, if you have the proper attitude and you're willing to be taught or teach, you know how to go online and learn the skills you need, there's a lot of places for you in nonprofit world.
Yeah, fantastic. That's something that's near and dear to my heart. I sit, so I actually live north of Lancaster in Sinking Spring. My wife's family is from there. So that's where we've decided to make home. When I moved here from Canada, I was a Lancaster County kid. So that's my connection. North Lancaster, Reamstown to be exact. But, so there in Berks County, I'm on newly added to the Career Center Education Foundation. And careers for me is very important at a personal level for my oldest boy. High school is really, really tough for him, and Career Center, I'm not exaggerating when I say this, saved his life. High school experience was tough for him. And so getting kids and exposing teens and young adults to alternate careers, that can be tremendously fulfilling, both in what you do, how you help, and how you get paid. Is great. And that's one of my passions. And so, that's neat. That's neat that you say it that way, that you can make a career out of this and it can be so rewarding and fulfilling. That's awesome. So no college degree required.
No college degree required.
You recently took that off. Yeah. Yeah. But you want to be trainable and you want to be, give us some of those qualities that you look for.
And I think that's one of the things, this next generation, they have access to so much information in ways we probably didn't. And so you can learn things. I used marketing as an example, but I have no design training whatsoever. So it was going online and letting Google and YouTube show me how to use design programs like Canva. And I did a lot of design work at my last job. But also, I think being in community with other people who do what you do or what you aspire to do. So when I was at Leadership Lancaster as a program director, cohorts of program directors came together and just shared best practices, and the ability to pick up what someone else is doing and say, hey, I could tweak this a little bit and it will work for my organization. That information sharing is huge. So it's asking the right questions, sometimes having mentors, I think, too, who can show you where to go. I've been really lucky for my entire career to have worked for some really strong women who led me along the path, taught me, never hesitated to share knowledge with me. And so any question I would ask was answered, and they'd take the time to teach. And so I've always tried to be that kind of leader, too. What can I show you so you can do this someday? Because that's how people always taught me.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the technology we have at hand can, depending on how you view it, and I guess it could always be good and bad, right? It just depends on how you use it. Everything's a tool. But you touched on Canva. I mean, it's an app, app-based. It's also web-based, but app-based. Kids are using phones, I would implore you at listening, if you have a child, if you have a teenager in your life through friend or family, whatever, challenge them to use their phone in for more than social media, for more than just staying connected with their friends. Challenge them to, download Canva and design me something for a business if you own it. Join a forum of something that you're interested in. I'm positive on Reddit, there's probably a Girls on the Run subreddit.
Yeah.
Because there's a subreddit for everything. You touched about leadership development, graphic design. I know there's a subreddit for. There's so many portals and pathways to build a career and learn skills. I wanted to touch on that because I'd be remiss not to. And it can lead to maybe being able to work for a great nonprofit, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe standing alongside Kate someday, which would be
it's a pretty good gig to be there and be supporting the change makers in our community. Yeah, I always, when I was at Leadership Lancaster, my last job, I told them the story that, you know, sometimes I would lay in bed and think, there are hungry people. There are kids without houses. I mean, the scale sometimes can be overwhelming if you're just paying attention to the needs. But with Leadership Lancaster, training leaders to go solve those problems, and now at United Way, empowering the organizations that are best at solving those problems to solve those problems, each one of those is a pebble into the water, and those ripples will just keep going further and further and further out. So while I can't solve all the problems, and I will lay in bed and think about them, but there are so many people in this community who are out there and who want to do good. It's really amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and that's another thing I think, if we're speaking to some younger folks listening right now, is that it takes time. It's not always instant gratification.
Right.
Right. And I know that stinks. Like, I'm somebody that wants it, what I want right away. That's just in my soul.
Sure.
So I have to learn that it's not always going to be that. But yeah, you can really change things. Like, I shared a couple episodes ago, I was in Guatemala, my aunt and uncle, have a medical mission there. And I gave them a perspective that they hadn't thought about. They've been there for 26 years with a brick and mortar medical mission clinic now for, I believe it's 18 or 19 years. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, young ladies have children there in the village they're in, very young. I said, so you're on second generation now. And it dawned on my uncle, oh, I am. A child that we helped maybe save their life from simple like flu or cold like symptoms has now grown up and has their first child with us again in the clinic. And it just takes time sometimes. But if you have that commitment and you align with great people, which that's what United Way is all about, is helping line up the great people.
Yeah, absolutely.
We can make an incredible change.
Yeah. And a little bit of humility. You know, I also did the schlepping and carried the water up the stairs. In the start of my career, we definitely had an organization where the executive director and program director both cleaned the bathrooms. So it's not always glamorous work, but it's good work and it helps you sleep at night, I think.
Yeah, love that. Great point. Great point about doing all the work. So, you know, as we look to wrap up some of our time together, what have we not talked about in regards to the United Way that you want people to hear?
Oh, housing. I would love to tell you about housing. So, as I said earlier, housing calls are one of our biggest calls right now. Last year, it was 41,000 calls about housing.
Wow.
And there are no quick fixes right now. But one of the things that we do is each year we grant $250,000. This is that matching again. So $250,000, and we grant it to the Homelessness Coalition. It's matched 3-1 by funds from HUD. So all in, $1 million is going out to the street to help with shelter, with across the county, help meet some housing needs, because we know how critical that need is in our community right now. And if we can amplify our dollars, and I think that's a big part of United Way, your dollar to us isn't just $1, we're amplifying it by a 3-1 match with HUD, for instance, for housing. So we're helping support the shelters that are keeping people safe at night. That's a big story that I don't think we've done a great job of telling over the years.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and as you share that, it dawns on me, like, you know, the 3-1 match from HUD. So yeah, I'm guessing United Way has those direct contacts to the federal government to access those dollars and bring them home.
Well, and we're lucky to have partners like the Homelessness Coalition. And so they manage that grant for us. We have a very specific portal to Lancaster County, Empower Lancaster, that we helped build with way back in the day. But CAP's a partner in that. And so there are folks, you know, it's not always easy to manage getting those grant dollars here. And so there's a lot of really smart people around the table. And then getting it to the people who are actually meeting the need, which is a big piece of this. Like, I know the need is out there. It doesn't mean that I know the quickest way to solve it. So through the Homelessness Coalition, partners like CAP, really getting dollars on the street to solve needs immediately.
Yeah. Love it. Love it. So for people that want to support the mission of United Way and want to get connected, So we talk here often, time, talent, and treasure.
Yeah.
So treasure, obviously, UW-Lank.org, they could go to. And donate. I'm sure there's a donation button right on your
Absolutely.
Website. So that's one way. What if they got talent? What if they have tip? What if they got, geez, my English teacher, Mrs. Means in high school would smack me right now. sorry, Mrs. Means. That was her name. She wasn't me, and that was just her name. So what if someone has talents to donate and time to donate? How do they connect that way?
We actually have, and this is, I think, probably the other story to tell. We have a volunteer center. So you could contact the volunteer center because you wanted to volunteer for VITA or do something with us, but also we could match you up with other organizations. So nonprofits that have volunteer needs come to us and say, we're looking for a work group for these things. And we can activate those volunteers, do that matchmaking so folks can be out there using their time and talent as well. We do Week of Caring, which is in the fall. So it's a blitz week where groups come together and do projects across the county, volunteer projects. So it could be anything from freshening up Shriner Cemetery to painting. They worked on houses, building houses this year. But getting groups together, or even if just you one-off want to find some place to volunteer, we can help. We also, around the holidays, keep lists of how you could help a family over the holidays, kind of like the angel tree thing. So that is a great resource for folks who want to be involved and engaged in their community, because that's where it starts, right? Just putting your hands in the dirt and doing the good and sitting with clients and understanding the need out there.
Yeah. And I think at times it's not so much a monetary, I mean, there's always a need for donations, always. Please don't not donate, because Jeff said, at times there's a need for more hands-on than there is money. But it is the truth. Like, you can have the dollars, but if you can't affect the mission, you know, if you can't go out there and build the house like Habitat for Humanity, if you don't have the manpower to move things up a couple flights of stairs, like off the streets,
right?
You know, if you don't have the time to pack the boxes like a Power Packs, they just can't do what they need to do. So yeah, if you're sitting around and you find yourself on a weekend, you know, kind of bored. I've done this golf thing enough. I do this motorcycle riding thing enough, or whatever. UWLank.org/volunteer. Get connected, give back some time to your community.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, that's a lift for nonprofit organizations to have to always be finding volunteers. So this is a gift we can give them. You don't always have to be searching, making those calls. Let us help you find volunteers, especially for projects. And we use them here. You know, we had a very large donation not that long ago of clothing, socks, t-shirts from AMS. And we used volunteers to come into the office and package those donations up so we could send them out to nonprofit organizations who we knew could get them out on the streets right away. So volunteers do come into our office sometimes and help with things, but for the most part, we're pushing them to organizations that need help.
Fantastic. Yeah. And we got a list of volunteer organizations here. So like there's really no excuse. If you have talents, you could get matched up with an organization that can use your talents. If you have time, but swinging hammers for Habitat for Humanity isn't your thing, you know, but you're like me, who kind of is like a closet, wants to be a winner for the grocery bagging competition, which they used, like ESPN used to broadcast this, like bag everything.
That.
Yeah. Well, Power Packs could use, could use your services. There's no reason to not check this link out and see how you might give back to the community through your time and through your talents. And of course, if you have the opportunity to donate, we'd ask that you consider that too. So, Kate, thank you for sharing all that you do and your passion and love for Lancaster through your work there at the United Way. Before we wrap up, before we send you on your way, is all right if we let people know a little bit more about you as Kate Zimmerman? Yeah. So that means it's time for our connection cocktail.
I know. I'm going to try my hardest here. Okay.
Yeah. And it feels like a Monday. I could really use that drink, but we'll keep this show G-rated and I'll just be sipping my water here. But first question for you. What is your favorite Lancaster treat?
I think it's probably Stroopy's.
When
my husband and I got married, we had a Stroopy bar actually at the wedding, because we like the social mission of it, but also Stroopy's are delicious. And I'm from Michigan, where there's a lot of Dutch people. And so the Dutch people are claiming the stroopwafel. And mm-hmm. so now I'm in a battle with them about stroop.
You're just a house conflicted. You got Michigan State, Dutch people, stroopwafel, yeah. Lancaster stroopies. You just have to play a diplomat all the time. Like that, see, that's where you're using your political science
right,
degree.
Right, yeah.
Diplomacy.
No, but I'm going to say something controversial. Stroopies here are better than the stroopwafels.
Oh, this lives forever. On the internet, Kate.
I know. I'm sorry.
What's one goal you've set for yourself for this year?
Oh, this is a terrible goal. So I am on a running streak. So I have run every day for like 900 days. And so I said, for my next birthday, I am going to run a marathon, which I have never done before. I have done half marathons. I have done 5Ks. I've done 10 mile is my favorite. But I got peer pressured into a full marathon this fall. So I'm going to do that.
And how many miles is a full marathon?
26.2.
Okay. Yeah.
Terrible, right?
Yeah, I mean, as you could tell, I'm not a runner. So it's just not my thing.
Peer pressure is a wild thing when a bunch of women say we are signing up for a marathon and it's hard to say no. So.
Well, there's worse things, you know.
I guess.
You can do through peer pressure. Last question. What do you think is the best season to spend in Lancaster and why?
Oh, all of them. I'm going to say spring because we're on the cusp of spring right now. And it's always the part that gives me hope again when the plants are blooming. We've made it through winter. I really love summer too. And actually, I love fall. But like spring's the hope that it's coming. That good things are coming.
Yeah. Next Saturday, we turn our clocks ahead. So like that Sunday night, I don't know about you, but like the Sunday night so after daylight savings time, it feels so good, right? Because it's like light and it's 7:30, 8 o'clock.
Yep.
So almost I just there. Love that. Kate Zimmerman with the United Way, thank you so much for all that you do, for bringing your talents here to Lancaster. Thank you. To get in contact with United Way. We've got all the links here in the show notes, but we've had them on the screen, uwlanc.org. So Kate, thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Another great guest there. Boy, it's nice to do the show. We're really blessed to have it, have great people like Kate come on, great people like Kate in our community. And so, be like Kate, go run. Try to start your streak in 900 days. Accept the challenges to do great things in life and really live with that purpose of giving back. Lancaster's really blessed to have somebody like Kate here helping out United Way, which helps out, as you'll just learn, so many other great organizations. So please check that out if you want to donate your time and your talents and your treasure, uwlanc.org/volunteer. So that was very cool. All right. I think that's about it. We are here in March. We've got spring cleaning going on here at the store. I alluded to that at the top of the hour. We have a lot of stuff to clear out, a lot of things that we want to bring in. I actually just met with a vendor this morning that has a very cool mattress program. It's like a color. I won't say anything more than that. You can probably guess what that might be. But we might be having them come in here to the store. So we'll see if we can make that happen. We have a lot of things throughout this month that we do want to get rid of. So please go to our website, check out what's on our specials page, give us a call, see if what you're looking for we have, and you're going to get an amazing mattress at a discount price. My sleep better tip for you. This is something that I've been playing with, and I realized last night I did not sleep as good as I wanted to, and that's because I forgot to do this. So I have been playing around with YouTube, playing like sleep sounds and like sleep hypnosis, meditation tracks, and falling to sleep and playing them. And I've been toying with it maybe the wrong way with a Bluetooth earpiece as I sleep, which I know... Maybe isn't the best thing for you. But I wanted to see if the sleep tracks, meditation tracks were really helpful, and they are. And so that environment, right, which is part of your sleep hygiene. Sleep hygiene is the environment you sleep in. It's the temperature. It's the sheets. It's what you eat before you go to bed, the amount of stress you put in, how much blue light you're taking in from a computer screen or a cell phone, the environment. And so that little track has been really helping me. And last night I forgot to play it and I did not sleep good at all. So that is my sleep better tip. See if you want to play with that. Add some of those sleep tracks, meditation tracks, sounds into your sleep experience. We actually have bed bases that have speakers built in. So you can take your phone, put the track on, put the phone down away from you. So you're not picking up that light. So you're not interested in checking your email at 2 a.m. But you can just play that track right through your adjustable bed base under your bed. And there's even, Tempur-Pedic has one that even kind of vibrates like haptics. And that massage helps get you to sleep. So really neat stuff going on. That's a cool part of your sleep environment. That's my sleep better tip for this week. If you want tips like that and more practical tips, habits you can build, routines you can build, you get our book, Sleep Better. We'll mail you a copy. You go to gardenersmattressandmore.com/sleep-better and we'll get you a copy mailed out. That is my show for this week. Thank you for having me solo. You've had Ben a lot solo. Now you got Jeff solo. Hope next week we'll be back, the dynamic duo, bringing you Lancaster Connects. And until then, from Gardeners Mattress and More, everybody have a wonderful week. Enjoy the start of spring. It feels like spring out there. I hope you have a great day today. We'll see you next week. Take care.